Well, good afternoon, everyone. A warm welcome to everyone. It's nice to have a new location with a little more space for more people to gather together. I want to welcome those on the webcast, certainly those in Roseburg and Eugene. In Eugene, we have now had two services in person in a row, and if there are a few extra that are living on the south side and want to come to Eugene, we have a little more space. We have room for 48. Last week, I think we had 33 there. So we have room for a few more people to come back, and certainly glad to be able to fellowship and glad to get together. I think it's been, as I was counting up, I think it's 9 months ago this Sabbath, the last time I spoke in person. Other than that, it was doing it in the little home studio we kind of set up that many of us were challenged with getting recording studios and sound and audio, and I mean sound and get video, getting those put together and finding the right location. It was a little challenging for us at the beginning, but this year's kind of been challenging, kind of like Mr. Light in the other song. It's like you just have to stay on your toes this year. You never know what's going to come up next. It is wonderful to be here. It's been way too long that we've been apart. Time really goes by quickly. It's already been 4 weeks since the last great day. It's always been a spiritual high point for all of us, is the feast every year. The experiences, the fellowship, the opportunities to learn new lessons, and to put those things to work in our lives. We had great messages and instructions. We learned many things that we can be applying in our lives to becoming more and more like Jesus Christ in every aspect of our daily lives. We attended the feast this year in St. George, Utah. It's been a number of years since we've been at a feast site with that many people in it. It was great to have that kind of fellowship of 1,000 people all together at the feast. But it was a large group, opportunities for fellowship, and a lot of opportunities to renew that contact, to just lift ourselves up after the things of the year. God's feast and instructions that God provides in the Bible are all focused upon the kingdom of God. Our lives that we live every day need to be built around the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:33, a memory scripture for all of us that we need to continually reflect on throughout our lives. It says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Speaking of those physical things that we sometimes put first, ahead of the kingdom, ahead of what's really important. That kingdom that we seek, kingdom of God, will be established on earth. It'll be composed of God's family. We are growing, striving, working to be part of God's family. That's why we're here. This requires us to repent and to humbly seek God and his help in every step and every stage of our lives. Today, in this message, we're going to look at the importance of family. How important is family to you? More importantly, how important is it, the family, to God? I think we understand how important families are to God. Growing individuals with strong moral and personal character to build successful communities, to build strong nations, to build strong churches, and for the growth of his kingdom. But as we live in a society that is influenced and swayed by the God of this world, he's trying to destroy successful families. So I'm going to review, most of us have been through and know, understand families, but there are some young ones here that maybe have not thought about it in this way before. We need to strengthen our personal views on family, because the attacks are going to continue to come on the families and family life and those values that we all hold to within the family. We need to remind ourselves how important strong, godly families are to every aspect of the lives we live. Families under attack in our society today from every front, whether it's in movies, TV shows, even in advertising, it attacks the family. Divorce continues to be a problem, with almost half of all marriages ending in divorce at this time. It leads to a growing number of people who don't get married at all, who go from one partner to another. Child and spousal abuse continues to grow, causes separation, causes all kinds of problems within families. The list goes on and on of the problems that are caused because families are breaking down because of that breakdown in society. These things that break families apart and lead to the decline of our civilization, of our society, and of our nation. Satan understands the value God places on family, and he's working to destroy families and God's plan. Society around us absorbs and reflects the attitudes and the attributes of the one who's influencing this. With such a strong influence around us, some of these ideas can have an impact on our lives and on our thought processes and our attitudes about the family. That's why it's so important for us to look at God's view of the family, so our thoughts and our ideas can reflect God's thoughts and his ideas and his viewpoints. We are experiencing a breakdown in society today. A big part of this breakdown is because of the breakdown of the traditional family. The strength of any society or nation comes from having strong families. So as the family say it fails, so does the nation. Family strength comes from obeying God and his word. But we are, as a society, turning our backs on God's instructions, on God's word. We don't want to look at it. We don't want to consider it in our daily lives. When we don't consider God's laws, we don't consider God's ways in a society, it doesn't have a good ending. Satan's desire to destroy the family is because he understands to do this leads to the destruction of biblical morality. His purpose is to destroy what God has set up, what God is working on, and what God is building. The things that he has established as good and right and just. The family provides a long list of personal and societal benefits. Healthy families provide love and support, along with a framework to teach respect, values, cooperation, and every individual being of value to the society. Families learn together how to function in society and how to serve others. To learn to share, to learn to support one another through the good and the difficult times as well. Family provides a setting for personal growth. Children's education improves when they live in a strong family environment. Family provides an important part of every child's life. It needs to be backed up with godly education and right examples. It can be an incredible experience, an incredible influence on their entire lives. God is the one who established families. He established it as a teaching tool for each and every individual, for each stage of life, different things to learn as we proceed through life. Let's turn back to the book of Genesis and look at what God established as part of his creation. The creation we enjoy around us is an incredible thing, and part of that was families that God created. On the sixth day of renewing this planet, God created the land animals. In Genesis 1, starting verse 26, Genesis 1 and verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. The states, let us make man in our image, indicating more than one. At that time, they made man in their image, God the Father and the Word at that time. They made male and female, indicating that God had a plan and a purpose for his creation, for those that he made, the ones that he made in his image. The purpose is actually reinforced here when it says, a kind reproduces a like kind within their creation. Man is different from the animals. He was made after the mold of the Creator with a purpose. Naming the animals was a really interesting thing for Adam to have to do. He didn't have Eve at the time, and he had all the animals. God brought them in front of him, and he looked at them, and in all of those, there was nothing that was like he was. So it was an interesting lesson for him as he went through that. In Genesis 2 and verse 18, it continues, and the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground, the Lord formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And Adam called each living creature that was its name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, to every beast, to the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. But the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of the man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother, and shall be joined to the wife, and they shall become one flesh. We see that God set the male and the female with two different ways of approaching and dealing with things in life. They were to be joined together. As the King James Version states, it is cleave, close to each other, become one. God stated his purpose in marriage, that the two, the male and the female, should become one. It's not easy. It requires commitment, requires sacrifice, requires God's help. Individually, we are incomplete. We are lacking things in our personalities. God uses this relationship to show us that we need to change and grow and to have the characteristics that God has. Learning to have a balance in our personalities. You come together, you put the male and the female and the two different personalities together, and you can begin to see a more complete image of the character that God has and the way that he looks at things. And so we have a lot to learn through that relationship. And you compare this with 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 17. You just jot it down. 1 Corinthians 6 and 17, where it says, but he who has joined to him, to the Lord, is one spirit with him. This relationship of marriage teaches us that we can have two separate lives, two separate paths, two separate ways of thinking and looking at things and come together to work for the same purpose, for the same goals in life. It's difficult to give up self. It's difficult to become one. The focus of both of these relationships should be on fulfilling God's purpose. God designed this purpose for us to learn the importance of being at one with him. Together, a man and a woman who are faithful and obedient should reflect the characteristics that God has. The thing we learn as we come one with our mates are the same things that we need to be learning as we apply these relationships with God and with Jesus Christ. God set up an example for us in the physical life so that we can put it to work in our spiritual lives, that we can apply for all eternity. Through the marriage relationship, we learn to give ourselves completely to achieve oneness as humans, so we can better understand how the Father and the Son have a relationship of being one. Theirs being on a spiritual plane, without the selfishness, without the pride, without this human nature that we deal with in our relationships. But that gives us an incredible example of the relationships that we can have. Our physical relationship of marriage and our spiritual relationship with God have the same purpose, the same goal, that of being one, of being joined together, of cleaving to one another. And when we get that mastered, we can move on to having children. Actually, that's one of those things that we can spend our entire lives working on and developing, because we have that self-oriented way of dealing with things. And it just takes a long time and a lot of help to put that to work and learning to be one and working towards God's kingdom and his goals. When we have, and if we have children, our education continues. I want to turn to Psalms 127. If you look at what children add to the family, children are an incredible blessing from God. And what a blessing he has given us locally. It's great to have so many young ones and those who are growing to learn God's way of life. The young ones bring enthusiasm and energy to everything in life. It's incredible when they get to do something new or looking forward to new experiences, how excited they can be. And we should learn that enthusiasm as we approach God and his word and his way of life. It's so important for us to have that attitude, that thought, that emotion of a little child. Remember the joy of being young, experiencing new things. We need to encourage our young as they grow up, as they learn. But to always consider that God and his ways are very important in their lives. Young people need to consider that every choice and every decision they make will have an impact on the course of their lives. Psalms 127, starting in verse 1, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchmen stay awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate." How did it start out? It starts out, "Unless the Lord shall build the house." We should be looking for God's direction in building our house, in building our family, in educating our children. It's God's blessing that he's provided for us in the families. Look to God for his help, his education in everything we do. The New Living Translation of Psalm 127, verse 3 says, "Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him." Children bring great joy into our lives. Even if they're not our children, we watch them, and they bring a lot of joy to us. They also bring a lot of lessons for us to learn. As they experience things, they go through life and grow. As families grow, we become parents. It can be overwhelming at times. It helps to have extended families, grandparents. And each stage of life, as parents, those children, as parents, as grandparents, we have different roles and different parts to play in the children's lives, but still teaching them the valuable lessons of living God's way. We are training to be teachers. We learned that at the feast. We are called to be priests. We're learning now to teach God's ways. We learn that within our families. We learn that in every situation we come into in life. We should be working at being skilled at helping the young put God's way of life to work in their lives. It reminds me of Joshua 24 and verse 15. At the end of the verse, it states, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That education, that teaching of the family, brings them, the family, together so that they will all serve God, looking to God for his help and his strength. Families work together to build this commitment to God and his ways. Before leaving Psalms, we're going to go ahead and read chapter 128 also. It continues with more about families and God's blessings on those families. Psalms 128. "Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children." Multi-generational blessings. The two crops that were enjoyed by the Israelites, they weren't necessary for their survival, but they added to the enjoyment and the quality of their lives. One was the vines, where they got their wine, and the other was the oil, which they got from the olive plants. Children and the enjoyment. Children add enjoyment. They add quality to our lives. Again, showing the blessings and value of both of these relationships, the ones of marriage and the ones of children, for multiple generations. Each member of a family has responsibilities to carry out and fulfill in the family. I'm going to turn into the book of Ephesians now. Take and start applying these to our spiritual, these lessons to our spiritual lives and the spiritual family. In Ephesians 5, our families are an important tool for us to learn spiritual lessons. Ephesians 5, starting in verse 22. "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Our marriage is a place for us to learn to be a part of God's kingdom, to be able to teach about God, about his purpose for humanity. Often we go through many difficulties, and sometimes they can seem overwhelming. After we work through the difficulties in our lives and the problems, we come out the other sides and we think, hey, we've learned something. But do we put those things to work? Do we make changes in our life? Life is a time for each of us to learn, to grow, to change, to overcome. And verse 25 continues, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies, for he who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church." God places a great deal of responsibility on each of us to fulfill our roles in the family. Husbands and wives are to sacrifice. They're to love one another. They're to grow and give up their own individual thoughts, desires, and directions to put it together as one thought and desire and direction. Christ showed his love to us then through the sacrifice of his life. As we love one another, we need to also demonstrate our love for God, putting him first, seeking his help, seeking his strength, seeking his kingdom. God's spirit is one of love. It's one of unity. The opposite of the spirit that we see so much around us, that of hate and division and destruction, it tears relationships apart. To have strong marriages and relationships, we need God's Holy Spirit. And it takes a continual dedication to changing our lives. Without God, life becomes about self and self-centered desires and thoughts, not instead of considering and always looking at God's way. Ephesians 5 continues, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nonetheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." We are members of his body. We are created in his image. Now we're learning to develop his character so that the puzzle of our lives can come together. This truly takes a lifetime to put it together and to accomplish this. Are we using our time to develop God's character in our lives? Truly developing a oneness with our mates and with God. We aren't going to leave the children out. We're going to go ahead and go on down to chapter 6 and verse 1. In Ephesians chapter 6, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, that you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." The whole family has a responsibility before God. We each have our roles to play, and they may change as we go through life. But here the Ten Commandments are quoted, to honor your father and mother. Learning to honor those in authority seems to be lost in our society today. But that is the start of learning to honor God. Parents play an important role in teaching children to learn to live under authority, to honor God, to honor parents. But the child also has responsibility to submit to their parents, to have faith in God. Parents have responsibility to teach children how to deal with the situations and not to lose their temper, to learn emotional maturity. Children need to learn that they can't do just whatever they want to do. The blessings promised for honoring father and mother not only lead to physical blessings of being productive in society, but also for the future family and for the future growth. Spiritual blessings come from having honor for God and for Jesus Christ, building relationships with all, and eventually becoming part of God's family and his kingdom. I want to look now in the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs 4, as we look at the responsibility of children, the importance of setting a right foundation and the children's lives, and the things that we can all consider, no matter how old we may be. Psalms and Proverbs are filled with passages that talk about families, instruction for growing, instruction for becoming an adult, things that we can all listen and learn from. In Proverbs 4, I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. Proverbs 4. "My children, listen when your father corrects you. Pay attention and learn good judgment, for I'm giving you good guidance. Don't turn away from my instructions, for I too was once my father's son, tenderly loved as my mother's only child. My father taught me, take my words to heart, Follow my commands and you will live. Get wisdom, develop good judgment. Don't forget my words or turn away from them. Don't turn your back on wisdom, for she will protect you. Love her and she will guard you. Get wisdom is the wisest thing you can do, and whatever else you do, develop good judgment. If you prize wisdom, she will make you great. Embrace her and she will honor you. She will place a lovely wreath on your head. She will present you with a beautiful crown. My child, listen to me and do as I say, and you will have a long, good life. I will teach you wisdom's ways and lead you in straight paths. When you walk, you won't be held back. When you run, you won't stumble. Take hold of my instruction. Don't let them go. Guard them, for they are the key to life. Don't do as the wicked do, and don't follow the paths of evildoers. Don't even think about it. Don't go that way. Turn away. Keep moving. For evil people can't sleep until they've done their evil deed for the day. They can't rest until they've caused someone to stumble. They eat the food of wickedness and the drink of wine of violence. The way of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, which shines ever brighter until the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like total darkness. They have no idea what they are stumbling over. My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. Make a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. God's word, his wisdom, is what we need in our hearts and our minds. We use it to mold and shape our character. It guides everything we do in this life. We are all working on being part of God's family. Each one of us needs to consider what we're doing, how we're living, what's important to us. So why do we spend so much time on this instruction for children? There's more than one reason. First, we have a large group of children here that have this instruction that they need to learn and need to put to work in their lives as they work on forming their own families in the future. And then, those of us who are older are preparing to be sons and daughters in God's family. All of us are seeking to be part of God's family. We all need to be applying these things in our lives. As we think about this, let's turn back to 1 John. We have the Bible study coming up again this week. We've been enjoying the studies in the epistles of John. So we're going to review a little bit here in 1 John 2. First John 2 and verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. God is referring to us as little children. We're learning to put his way of life into practice. So in his kingdom, we can teach those ways to others. Just as dealing with our physical children takes considerable love and patience, it will take the considerable love and patience for us in dealing with people as God establishes government on this earth. States at the end of verse 29, how we know that we are God's children. It says, everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. So we are working on being born of God. We are practicing righteousness and putting those things to work now. In 1 John 3, starts off, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure." When God calls us, and he opens us up our minds to his way of life, if we respond, we change, we grow, we overcome. If we repent and be baptized, we have the laying on of hands, and God gives us his Holy Spirit. That starts the process of us becoming his children. Stop and consider what an incredible blessing this is to be called a child of the Most High God. What is God offering us? To be a part of his family. We look forward to the return of Jesus Christ to establish his everlasting kingdom. When he comes, we will be like him. Let's read that again. Just let it sink in. And read 1 John 3 again, the first few verses. "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." This is why family is so important, because we're looking at being part of God's very family, not just for a short period of time, but for all of eternity. It's an incredible blessing to know and understand this and to have this offered to us. People spend their entire lives seeking fame and seeking honor. This last week, I think we've seen that, a few people seeking power, seeking honor. But what a blessing it is to know that God is in control, that God is working with the things that are going on in the society around us. But we've been called to be a part of God's family, to be the sons of God. We will have his name. We should do everything in our power to uphold his name, to bring glory to him, to bring honor to him, the greatest name in the universe that was created by him, will be called by God's name. Do we live up to our family name? Do we recognize that this is the most incredible opportunity that any human can be offered? We should be working to bring out the full meaning of a loving, caring, supporting family in our lives. It should reflect God. It should reflect his ways. It should be a reflection of his very family. This year was really a different feast for all of us. We've never experienced a year quite like this, but it was certainly a refreshing experience to be together at the feast. Just wanted to see a show of hands of how many, when they went to the feast, were with more than just their regular, just their close family. They were with extended family. How many of us were with extended family? Quite a few. We were extended family too. It was a little different this year. We usually have it with almost, well, a good portion of the last couple of years have been with most of our close family. This year it was just with one daughter and two granddaughters. But it was certainly nice to share that feast, that time, with family. But many here are single. Many don't have family members who are in the church. But it's still an important time for them to consider the importance of family. I want to turn to Mark 10. As we consider that when we gather together as God's people, we are all gathering together as family. Mark 10, and we're going to start in verse 28. We could read this in Matthew 19 also, but we'll take the Markish part here. Mark 10, verse 28. Then Peter began to say to him, "See, we have all left all and followed you." So Jesus answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, there is not one of you that has left house or brother or sister or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first shall be last, and the last first." God's family is larger than those of any of our individual families. As God's kingdom will grow, so will his family. We can tie this together with Mark 3, just a few pages back in Mark. Mark 3, starting in verse 31. Mark 3 and verse 31. Then his brothers and his mother came, and standing outside, they sent to him, calling him. And a multitude was sitting around him. And they said to him, "Look, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you." But he answered them, saying, "Who is my mother or my brothers?" And he looked around in a circle at those who sat about him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my God is my brother and my sister and mother." Whoever does God's will, those with God's Spirit, they are his family. They are part of our family. There are dysfunctional families. There are dysfunctional individuals. God wants us to learn to be a functional family, to be a society, a church, a community that reflects his values. We can't let our individual wishes and desires become what's most important. Throughout the Bible and throughout history, God has worked with family groups, especially those who feared and obeyed God. He worked with Noah and his family. Then he worked with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He became Israel. And those family of blessings that he put upon Abraham continued down through the generations that we're still enjoying today, and said all nations of the earth will be blessed by these blessings. We even see in Exodus 20 that God explains that the blessings and cursings can endure through many generations unless we repent and seek him. Let's go ahead and just turn back to Exodus 20. We'll read through that section in Exodus 20. Now we'll start in verse 5. "You shall not bow down to them nor serve them," speaking of idols. "For I am the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers unto the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments." So many of the translations translate this part in verse 6 to say, "for 1,000 generations." It leads us to consider, was there someone in our family in the past that was obedient to God that led to us being called today? God says he blesses those for thousands of generations. It would be an ongoing blessing throughout our lives. It may not be, but as we look at the way that God works through history, it makes for some interesting thoughts, some interesting things to consider as we look at this. In Psalms 8, we see that David had some thoughts and questions about why God put so much effort into the earth and into humanity. In Psalms chapter 8, starting in verse 3, Psalms 8 and verse 3. if I get to the right place. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the Son of Man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with a glory and honor. For you made him to have dominion over the works of your hands, and you have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. What are we that God takes interest in us? He takes time with each of us to guide us, work with us through our mistakes, through our faults, through our problems. He guides us through our tests and our trials. He gently leads us, gently teaches us, like a parent with her child. That's right, we're his family. He's working patiently with his family, teaching us how that we should deal with our families. John 1 and verse 18 says, "No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." And in John 3 and verse 16 it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Both of these verses show that God places family as very important. We should also. That is our future, the family of God. Jesus Christ is the firstborn Son of God. God is our Father. God is working with us. Let's turn now to 2 Corinthians 6. God is holy. God wants us to be part of his family. We need to be working on becoming holy to be part of his family. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship is righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? And what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, 'I will dwell with them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people.' Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty." As the spiritual temple of the living God, as sons and daughters, we are to make ourselves clean from all unrighteousness. We need to work on being pure and holy in every aspect of our lives. This includes the physical and the spiritual aspects of our life. Here God calls us his sons and daughters. He will be our Father. He does not want a family that brings its old habits and its old ways into his family. He wants a family that has adopted his laws, his commandments, and the love that he has. This is the only way to have a peaceful, loving, productive, and a happy family. In Revelation 2 and in 3, each of the seven churches have the same instruction. We're told that God is offering his promises to the him who overcomes. We need to be changing, growing, and overcoming to be a part of God's family. But it isn't just us. We need God's help. We need God working with us. Family is a wonderful institution that God has provided for us to learn more about him and about how he thinks and about his plan for all humanity. Family is what our society, our education, the morality, and the world around us have been built on, well, or should be built on. But God's laws and commandments are designed to build and support happy, healthy families. Healthy families build healthy nations. They teach and support the next generation. The opposite is also true. Without strong families, all of these things, the churches, the society, the governments, they all fail. The family and the values of the family are built upon biblical principles. To tear down the family tears down biblical morals, and that's what Satan is wanting to do and working to do. But God has a purpose. He has a purpose for our marriages, purpose for our children, purpose for our families. They are important to God and for his future kingdom. This physical family is just a glimpse for us of what God's spiritual family will be like. I want to turn to Ephesians 2. Consider how much work God has put into his family, how much sacrifice he has made. In Ephesians 2, and we'll go ahead and pick it up in verse 1. I'm going to read this in the New Living Translation. Ephesians 2 and verse 1. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy. He loved us so much that even though we were dead because of sin, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point us in all the future ages as examples of incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us, reunited with him. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things you have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Jesus Christ, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. God has done a lot for us to be a part of his family. It takes work to build and sustain our physical families, but they're such a blessing. We're looking forward to being a blessing to God as part of his family. And this will be an everlasting family with God the Father, Jesus Christ his Son, and those who have submitted to God and submitted to his ways. God has been merciful and kind in dealing with us. Do we show these same things in dealing with our own families? While we're here in Ephesians 2, let's also look at verse 19. Ephesians 2 and verse 19. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And I am in the wrong place, I think. I am. Ephesians 2. And verse 19. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. We are part of that household of God. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple of the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Members of the household of God, despite what we see going on around us today, we know that there is an incredible future ahead. We need to keep our focus upon God's truth and God's ways to guide us and direct us through the times and the things that we are experiencing today. God is building his family right now on this earth. We are working with our physical families and preparing to be a part of God's family. So how important are families to God? They're very important. His creation was designed to support families. God is a family. He's preparing his family for future growth. In conclusion, let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and we're going to pick this up in verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. God is our Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. God is building a great spiritual family to live with him and the Son for all of eternity. Family should be one of the most important things in all of our lives.